Amen. Amen. Good morning. How are you guys doing? Good. Well, you look good this morning. I just want to tell you that. No one told you yet. You look good. Okay. If you have your Bible, if you would turn with me to John chapter 16. As you were turning there, just, you know, one of the things that we as a church have just been praying is that we would recognize the lostness of our world and then be willing to do something about that. And I think sometimes that's a overwhelming thought to think about. A people group on the other side of the world, almost a million people, and what really can we do? And doing nothing is definitely doesn't help at all, right? So you can be part of that, and we believe that over the next several weeks, as we look at God's plan for the church, that He will show us. He will show us even some specific things of how we can reach our community. And that can extend to the ends of the earth. And so I wanted to invite Robin to come up. Robin works for a missions organization in Owosso, based out of Owosso, Project Hope Worldwide. And so Robin is going to share with us just some opportunities that the Lord may lead you to be a part of.
Good morning, church. Project Hope Worldwide is a small nonprofit. Our U.S. headquarters are in Owosso. We serve orphaned and vulnerable children in Mexico, Nicaragua, and Uganda. We have a sponsorship program in each of those countries, and it looks a little different in each country. But we offer trips to go visit the sponsored children, and we do a lot of different things while we're there. So we have spring break and fall break and summer trips available. I was blessed last year to take a 10-year-old along with his mother and father to Nicaragua, and he wanted to do a magic show, and so he did a magic show where he presented the gospel. And so we try to tailor our trips around the people that are on them so that they can serve the way God has put on their heart. I also took a woman in her 70s to Uganda last year who led small groups and taught the children to knit as she led that small group. So there's a place for everyone on these trips, and I would love to give you more information. I have a meeting next Sunday, the 19th, at our office in Owosso. It's right by the YMCA, and it's at 4 p.m., and we'll also do that as a video conference, so you could join us online or in person. At the table in the back outside in the hallway, I have some cards that look like this. They have the dates of our trips, and then on the back it has my information so that you can reach out for the link to the online meeting or to ask questions. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Robin, so much. Last couple of weeks, we have started a discussion of the church and the Holy Spirit, and ultimately what we are discussing is, specifically last week, we looked and sought to answer the question, what is the church? It's not a building, but it is a people, and we looked at the words in the original language. The word for church, or most of the times translated church, is ekklesia. It is a word that means, it's two different parts of the word, ek, which is out of, and kaleo, which is called out. So those who are called out, those who have been called by God, and so it is specifically the people. So the church, you didn't come to church today, you are the church, right? And when we leave here, the church is going to leave this building, and so it's important that we see that and understand that. We looked at last week where Jesus used this word ekklesia. And he was talking to Peter, and after Peter had given an answer as to who Jesus was, he says, And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Now, it's important to realize, build, he's not talking about, again, a building, but he's talking about build a people. And he says, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And today, what I want to do is I want to discuss the team that you are a part of. I think that we see athletic used quite a bit throughout Scripture as an illustration, and it will be imperfect, but we'll look at team a little bit, because you, if you are set apart, you have chosen to surrender your life to the Lord, you are part of a team. And in this team, we have a mission, just Just like a team, whether it's basketball or baseball or football, there is a mission that they are trying to do. They're trying to score points or keep the other team from scoring points, and both and. We have a mission, and it's important that we're aligned in that mission. In Acts chapter 2, we see the first church after the Holy Spirit has come. We see them gather together, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, to breaking of bread, and to prayer, fellowship. And so with that, we saw that they experienced this awe, and God do things among them that could only be explained by his hand. And it says that the Lord added to their number, or ecclesia, the church, right? The Lord is building this church he is talking about, day by day, those who were being saved, those who were believing in Jesus, those who were changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we looked at who are a part of this ecclesia, then who are a part of the church. Is it everybody? Is it anybody that so desires? Who is he specifically talking about when he's saying the called out ones? And so we looked at that, and the first one is someone who is a disciple, someone who has specifically chosen to believe that Jesus is who he says that he is, and that they have chosen to follow him with their lives. And so, as a disciple, you have chosen to follow his way over your way. Now, this is really hard for us because we're used to being in control. But to follow the Lord's way means that we see his word as truth and that his way is better than our way. I don't know about you, but when I live life under my own strength, I get my own results. But when I trust the Lord and I begin to apply his principles and his truth, it doesn't mean that life is easy. It just means there's purpose behind it. And it also means and is a great reminder that this is not my home. We all experience the brokenness of this world. We experience the struggles and the trials and even just the effects of sin. And they never fulfill the promises that they give. And so not only is someone a disciple, but they are also have been filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, something happened with this first group of people when the Holy Spirit came. The promise that Jesus gave them that remain here in Jerusalem and the Holy Spirit will come and will fill you and you will be empowered, right? This word empowered is a word dunamis. It actually is where we get the word dynamite. It is a power outside of ourselves and definitely much greater than ourselves. And is a power that came upon these first believers, and they were changed, and they were different. They handled things different. They forgave. They loved. But more than that, they were bold. Even to the point of death, they were bold and courageous. Something came over them. And I say it because for you and for me, I think that if we're not careful, we can start to get a definition as to what the team is supposed to do. And we'll think that we're winning or we're all that God wants us to be, and we'll define it ourselves. So, for instance, if we're not careful, we can define winning or being who God wants us to be by just being a good person, being kind to others, you know, making sure I don't say certain things or I don't run to certain substances. And we will check it off as like, I'm who God wants me to be. And we'll even say that I've tried the church thing and really not experienced much change in our lives. You see, maybe even today is a box check for you that kind of leads you toward that, hey, I checked the box, I went to church, I tried that thing, and it might be a pat on the back or sometimes even a strong arm to God to say, look what I did for you, God. Even when that plate came by, I threw some in there. You should do what I need you to do. Where are you at? How come you're not fixing these things? You see how, if we're not careful, we'll define it ourselves. And so, it's very important then that you and I, when it comes to these people who are called out by God, that we understand and define things and allow him to define them instead of allowing culture or even each other define it for ourselves. We must run to the face of God. We must run to the word of God to understand his truth and then allow him to lead us to be and to even change us in such a way as to be the man and woman he has called us to be. So we have quite the task, right? You see that. But this is my prayer. It's that as we look at the hand of God, that he'll begin to do something in our lives. The cool thing about this team, though, is each one of us is gifted differently. Think about a team. Think about a football team. You know, a lineman is gifted much differently than the quarterback or the running back. They may have same worth ethics. They may have the same goal. They should have the same goal, but it's different because they're gifted differently. You are gifted differently than I am because you're unique. There's no other you out there. But God is and gives us gifts, gifts of the Holy Spirit, and he desires that we work together to encourage one another and be fulfill the mission that he has given us. One of the cool things about this team, though, is we're promised victory. Jesus told Peter that the gates of hell would not prevail, right? And so you and I are on the victorious team. And what I mean by that is this world has its struggles and its trials, but this is not our home. And so the worst thing that this world could do is kill us. Now, that sounds kind of weird, right? Chad, what? No. Think about it. If this isn't my home, if I have a promised inheritance that will never spoil or fade, if I have been called and called out and have a new purpose, then the things that this world, and I want to tell you, the promise even that this world is trials and struggles and tribulations. Those are all promised to us, by the way. When they come, I can encounter them with a completely different perspective. I can encounter them in such a way that, Lord, I know that you're going to grow me in the midst of this, so I'm going to trust you. What do you want me to do now? Instead of saying, God, why? I can say, Lord, here's where I find myself. Here's the situation. I surrender to you. I yield to you. Will you show me? Will you lead me? Give me wisdom. Sometimes I can even bring other brothers and sisters around and say, together, I can be surrounded by wise counsel. Show me. What are some things in my life that I'm missing? I got the chance to play baseball in college, and one of the things about being on this team in college, first, in college, everyone was good. Everyone threw hard, everyone hit hard, you know. So, but being a part of this team, I didn't know if I was welcomed until a specific event happened. And the reason for that, I was the only freshman on the team. I would have different guys saying, hey, go pick up that, and I just keep walking like I didn't even hear them, right? But upon this team, there were sacrifices that had to be made. Think about any, I love baseball because it's very strategic. There is all sorts of different aspects of the game I won't bore you with. But there are sometimes you have to sacrifice. Sometimes you have to bunt when you would rather swing. Sometimes you have to hit and run, which means you got to swing at the ball wherever it is, even if it's way outside, right? There's other times when you, just by even hitting the ball up in the air, sometimes can be a sacrifice so that someone else can score. There is a mission as a part of the team. Times that my body, I had to put in front of the ball to make sure it didn't get by me, right? Other times that even at bat, to be hit by a pitch was the greatest strategy as a part of the game. There was one time that really helped me to solidify that my team saw me as part of the team. We were playing a game, and the pitcher was throwing really hard. He was throwing, I believe he was hitting 90s. He was hardest we had seen at least in a while. And the two guys in front of me had just hit a home run. It's kind of an unwritten rule that if that happens, you plunk the next guy. But surely they weren't afraid of me hitting a home run, right? So I'm not thinking anything is going to happen, but the first pitch was way inside. I'm like, oh, no. And so there's already chatter from my team a little bit to the pitcher. The next one come right at my head, and I remember just getting out of the way, and the ball hit me right in my bicep, and I literally couldn't move my arm. It was frozen like this. But the thing that helped me to realize that I was part of this team was the whole bench cleared. They're all upon their feet. Now, we didn't go to start a fight or anything, but they came to my defense. And this is a beautiful picture that I believe as a church, this is who we should be. Is we should see each other, some of us flawed, some of us weaker than others, some of us we don't know all that well, but we should stand alongside of one another. And listen, in times when someone falls or someone struggles, that should be the greatest way in which we stand around them and say, how can I help? How can I encourage? Listen, I know that you're struggling right now. I know that there's hard things happen, or maybe even, listen to me, church, even in a time of a failure, someone fails. A lot of times what we'll do is we'll talk about them instead of gather around them and encourage them and love them and bring them back to where God wants them to be. And so you are part of a team. And the greatest promise about this team is we're promised the victory. And so now how? How are we promised this victory? And to do this, it means we're going to need to understand the Holy Spirit, because Jesus tells his disciples that it's to your advantage that I go or ascend to the Father, because then I'll send the helper. Oh, and thank God we have a helper. Amen. So if you are able and don't mind, would you mind standing with me just as we read God's word? We want to honor it as God's word. This is not Chad's words here this morning, but it is the Lord's. And so John chapter 16, we'll start in verse 5. But now I'm going to him who sent me. To give you a little bit of a context here, Jesus has had this time in the upper room. He's brought all of his disciples together. He's getting ready to be arrested, knows he's getting ready to die upon the cross. He has brought them together. He's washed their feet. He's done these very humble things, and he's taught them some great teachings. He said, all right, let's go from here. And he's walked over, I believe, to a garden or maybe a vineyard. He's already taught them some of the great teachings of I am the vine, you are the branches. And now in this garden, he's got them gathered around, and he's teaching them, and he's getting ready to leave them. This is why he just said, I'm getting ready to go to the Father. Where I go, you can't come. Listen to what he says. But now I'm going to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. And rightly so. They've seen Jesus do miraculous things. They've seen him. There was at one point when many of his disciples or followers left him, and he looks at his close disciple, and he's like, are you going to leave too? And they're like, where would we go? You have the very words of life. Like, they recognize, right? They're not leaving this guy. They love him. So sorrow has filled their heart as now they think about he's going to leave. Listen to what he says here in verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and I will see, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judge. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but what he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Father, again, we thank you for your word. We are grateful that we are able to have it. As we look at this, you have sent us a helper. We're not on our own. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us not to try to do this on our own, but instead we'd rely upon you, we'd look to you, we'd believe you, we'd follow you. We love you so much. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. So, who is this helper? Who is the Holy Spirit? It's important that we understand some things, and even asking that question is a huge question. There's no way I could even, paint a clear picture, but I'll at least try to share some things that I think will be helpful. And the reason why I say that is this is God we're talking about. Like, there are some mysteries about God that we don't know and can't fully understand. Even as you hear me try to explain some of them, you're going to be like, wait, I don't fully understand that. I think there's a reason for that. At least I'm okay with the mysteries. Some of us struggle with those. But I want to tell you, if we could understand everything that there is to know about God, he would cease to be God. So there are some mysteries, and I believe that it's okay to have some of those questions along the way. Here, we see Jesus say, it's to your advantage that I go. Now, Jesus, when he was here, was in one place. So, for instance, if he was in a specific city, when he was in Jerusalem, Jesus was in Jerusalem. That does not mean that Jesus was also in another city. No, Jesus was in Jerusalem. But now that he goes to the Father, now it is best, because now there is this Spirit, as we'll see here in just a minute, who now can be everywhere. So it's to our advantage. But a couple of things I want us to understand, and as we look at some of these attributes of God. First one, as we talk about the Holy Spirit, is that the Holy Spirit is God. Now wait just a second. Immediately you're like, well, no, I thought the Father was God. Yes. Well, but Jesus said he was God. Yes. So now you're saying the Holy Spirit is God. Yes. So as we talk about God, especially as the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, We look at this and there's all sorts of analogies or illustrations that people try to use to help us to understand, but they all fall short. Because even, like I've heard people say, like an egg, right? You have the shell, you have the white stuff, and then you have the yolk. Well, yeah, they're all an egg and they're all three different parts, but you can see how it still falls short. Or I've heard some people like, well, it's like water, you know? Water can be a liquid, and then it can be ice, and then it can be steam. So it's like, it's still water, but yet it's all, you know, that falls short too. So when we look at who God is, again, there's this mystery. But I want you to hear how Jesus tries to explain some of this to his disciples. And you even hear within it where Jesus is going to say, I'm going to come to you. But then in another, it's like the very next sentence, he's like, then I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And then he'll even say like, No, me and the Father, if you love me and obey my commands, then me and the Father are going to come and we're going to be among you and we're going to manifest ourselves to you. So even Jesus trying to explain these things, it's like he's trying to paint this picture. I'm going to come to you, but wait, me and the Father are going to come to you. Well, I'm going to go and then the Holy Spirit's going to come. It's like you see this dance, if you will, of each one of them trying to bring glory to the other. And so we see this in chapter 14. Turn back with, if you have to flip the page, but chapter 14, we see this as we'll start in verse 15. Listen to how Jesus says some of these. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now, here he's talking about a change, right? A change has happened. If you love me, then you'll follow me. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. For he dwells with you and will be in you. Here, Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. So who's going to come? Is it the Holy Spirit that's going to come or is Jesus going to come? Yes. Right? Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you and me, and I and you. I am in the Father, yet, wait, you're in me, and I'm in you. Who is the Father in me? Is Jesus in me? Is the Holy? Yes. Do you see the very presence of God? Verse 21. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Do you hear over and over? It's this, I'm going to come to you. I'm in the Father. The Father is in me. And so here's the thing that I just want you to understand. As we talk about the Holy Spirit, or as Jesus says, it's better that I go to the Father. Why? Because the very Spirit of God is going to come and live in you and empower you. And so we must see it. He's not some crazy uncle that we don't want to get to know too much because he might make us do weird things. No. He is the very Spirit of God that we get to know and have a relationship. And so not only do we understand that he is God, but he is a person. It is a he. It's not a it. It's not a force. We're not talking about Star Wars here where I'm going to wield some sort of force, you know. No, it is I get to know God. And he's with me and in me and leads me and empowers me. And yes, I get to know him more. And as we obey and follow and trust and step out in faith, you see, we get to know and experience him even in different ways because he is faithful. And so as I look across this room and I try to remind you of this often, I see different trials or struggles or disease or cancer or pain or loss that many in this room have gone through. And so as you've gotten through it, especially as you look back, you get to see the work of the Spirit's hand to help you get through it every step of the way. Some of you, as you've overcome some of these things, even in there's very moments where you didn't even know how you were going to take the next step, and yet that drew you even closer because you cried out in this dependence. What do you want me to do? I don't know how to do it. And
in that, he says, this is right where I wanted you to be. See, the point is you can't do it on your own. Here's the thing. When we try to do this, it only frustrates us because it's like when we try, we struggle. And when we struggle, we question. And then when we question, we're like, okay, God, where is you? And the whole point is for us to just get to this place where we give up in our own strength. This is why Paul would say things like, when I'm weak, I'm strong. It's because this place of weakness leads us to this place. I have to look outside of myself. And God is sitting there, standing there. He's like, all right, I've been waiting for this. Here I am. I have a plan. I've had a plan the whole time. If you'll trust me. He's God. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's calling us. He promises to dwell in us and with us. But he also prays for us. I love this. Hold your spot here in John. Turn to the right. You'll hit Acts. Then go to Romans. In Romans chapter 8, I want you to see what he says here. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. He says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that those who love God, all things work together for good, and for those who are called according to his purpose. So here we have the Spirit at work. He's praying for us. We don't know what to pray for. We may not know the will of God in a certain situation that we find ourselves in, but the Spirit is right there, and he's in us, and he's trying to lead us through this thing, and we don't know what to say or even what to ask for, but it's the Spirit then who does that. And we've got to be careful that we don't see it as like, I just sit there in some sort of meditational state and I'm not involved in this. No. We're a willing participant in yielding to what the Spirit has. So again, that's why I say when we encounter a situation, we say, instead of saying, why God, we're like, okay, here I am. What do you want me to do? How can I bring you honor and glory in this? Show me. The Holy Spirit has emotions. Francis Chan wrote a book, it's called Forgotten God. Great book, great study. And he points to this emotions. And he points us to Ephesians 4 in the book, and he talks about how that you and I can grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, that seems like a powerful position. Like, how can God be grieved by me, little old me? But it's because of his love for us and his plan for us. And just as you can be grieved by your kids, you have a plan for them. You love them. You want them to do and experience certain things. And in the same way, we can grieve the Holy Spirit based upon our actions. In other words, we've been called out, so we're no longer to be like the people of this world, but we're to be different. And in being different, if I start to act like who I used to be, then that grieves the Holy Spirit, because what I'm ultimately saying is that my way or the way I used to be is better than yours. And so you could see how that rebellion can grieve, just as your kids can rebel against you and also grieve you. And so it's based out of this place of love. And so the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit prays for us. And as Ephesians 4 would point us to, it's the Holy Spirit has emotions. And last thing I just want to see, and you can see how this is not exhaustive, is that the Holy Spirit is all-powerful. So the word we use for that is omnipotent. It ultimately just means that the Holy Spirit is God and can do anything. And so when you and I find ourselves in situations, why would we not then run and trust the one who can do all things? And throughout Scripture, we see that God works, and he doesn't work through chariots or horses or swords, but through the very Spirit of God. Not only is he all-powerful, but he's present everywhere. Omnipresent is a word we use for that. And where can I go? Where can you go where the Spirit of God is not there? Man, Solomon's got that right? He's all-knowing, omniscient. which means that he searches everything. He knows the heart. He knows your thoughts. He's all-knowing. So he knows what you need, even when you don't realize it. And so you can see then why Jesus said it's better that he goes to the Father, because then he'll send the helper. The helper then can be in each and every one of us, leading us, guiding us, empowering us. And so then the Holy Spirit can do things. He can be our help when we need to bear witness. He can teach and remind us of truth. He can lead us in the way that we should go. He can be our comforter. Oh, man, aren't you thankful that there's a comforter when you are grieving? He is our advisor, our encourager. He's the power of God to witness and to be a witness and proclaim him to the ends of the earth. He empowers to overcome sin. He bears witness that we are his child. There are times that we just need to be reminded that we are a child of God. He convicts of sin. He fills us with hope and joy. He transforms us. And as we look to the Holy Spirit, it is that Spirit that will lead us. And so now, in John chapter 16, when he says that it is to your advantage that I go, listen to a couple of things that he says that the Spirit does. He will convict the world, verse 8, concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. And he says, concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning sin. And so what the Spirit does is the Holy Spirit helps us to see that we are sinners. And you say, well, yeah, that's pretty easy to see, but I just want to tell you, it's important to know that if you go ask people in this world, are you a good person? It doesn't matter what they've done or how they live their life. The vast majority of them are going to say, yeah, I'm a good person. You know why? Because they compare themselves to other people. We can always find someone worse than us, right? And so it is the Holy Spirit's job to come and to help us to see, yes, I've rebelled against God. I've tried to do it my own way. I am a sinner. Now he says, in regards to righteousness, because I go to the Father. He says he convicts in the way of righteousness. Jesus is getting ready to go and ascend to the Father, meaning that he can stand before a holy God. Jesus himself is righteous. And so you and I, as we are convicted by the work of the Holy Spirit, he helps us to see that we are to look to Jesus as he really is. He is the Messiah. He is the one who came and died for us. And then in the way of judgment. You see, we have a God who is just, meaning that when he has to punish something that has been done against him, just like if you break a law and you brought before the judge, if the judge is a good judge, he can't just let you go free just because he so feels like it. No, as a good judge, he must stand for justice. We have a God who is just. And so as you and I have sinned against this holy God, it makes sense that there is condemnation then for the lawbreaker, which is you and I. You see, it's the Spirit who comes and helps us to see that and to understand that. So that then when we realize this righteousness has not just Jesus who has come, has not just righteous for himself, but his payment upon the cross has now allowed you and I to be and experience that righteousness, it changes everything. Now one day I can stand before a holy God, not because I'm good or have done anything good in myself, but because someone else has done it on my behalf. And so this is the truth of God's word, and we see that the Holy Spirit does that. And in verse 13 it says, and when the Holy Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. One of the great promises that I love and I stand on is even on Sunday mornings, the pressure for me is not to save anybody. It is even not to, the pressure on me is not that you even walk away having understood anything. Because that's the role of the Holy Spirit. My job each Sunday when I come and stand here is to teach truth accurately. And as I teach that truth accurately, the very promise of the Word of God, God himself, is that the Spirit would come and would open eyes, would convict hearts, would help to see, because he is a personal God, and he loves you, he's made a way for you, and so you and I can know him and walk with him and be empowered by him. But there is a mission, And we are a team. And if we're not careful, we'll make it about me. And I'll walk out of here each Sunday and just be like, okay, well, I've done what I'm supposed to do. Or, man, I really wish you'd have gone in deeper and here, and I didn't really feel fulfilled or fed or whatever. And you see how I can make it so much about me that I miss the mission that we're actually called to. Like, it's not really what happens here on Sunday. It's just we come, we gather, we get encouraged by the very word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit as we come together so that we can go live the mission as we leave this building. Amen? Now, we're going to unpack that more and more in the weeks to come, because I think that we need some clarity, because we've just allowed it to be something that it was never intended. And so as we bring clarity to who we are and what God has called us to do, we'll see even more our dependence upon the power of the Holy Spirit. And so as we look at this, we must then look at the truth of God's word. Friday, I had to, anyway, a classmate of mine that I graduated with passed away, a good friend of mine, and so we had his funeral. I believe that his friends and family celebrated him well, but as I was preaching his message, I was reminded of a time when he had come to church while I was a young pastor there in Inola, and as I was preaching, I was sharing the gospel and just talking about how the wages of our sin is death, and the truth of that, right? So because God is just, judgment is deserved, but we find refuge in the cross, right? But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And as I said that, it just occurred to me how important that word but right there is, right? But. Like, the worst thing we could ever have heard is the wages of our sin is death, but the gift of God, it's a free gift. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And just in that moment, it kind of hit me, and I was like, man, that's a big but, and I like that big but. I cannot lie. And so anyway, I get done preaching. You know, Lindsay shakes her head at me often, and it was more so as a young pastor. But I remember, you know, going back and my friend Matt, he was in a car wreck our junior year, and so was in a wheelchair up until he passed for 26 years. And so I went back just to hug him and shake his hand, and he says, well, Chad, you did pretty good today, but I will say this is the first time I've ever heard Sir Mix-a-Lot quoted in church. And so, but think about, like, in that moment, maybe in that moment, it just hit me. This is a big word right here. Think about this. This is our position, wages of sin, but there is this God who so loves us. And it's not just that. He didn't just make a way, but he has made a way and then promised the Spirit to come and to help us and empower us and encourage us, comfort us. And if we're not careful, we'll live our lives as though we are not empowered. And so it's important we recognize who it is that has been given, who it is that is with me. I acknowledge that the Spirit is here right now, like in this very moment. And not just in this room as like some sort of force, but no, in you. Wanting a personal walk and relationship with you. Wanting you to know him and experience him and to trust him. Wanting you to, in a moment of decision, not make it on your own, but call to him. And again, if we're not careful, we'll just coast through life, and we'll do it, and we'll have a Christian spin on it. We'll do these things, but I wonder if sometimes that happens, and churches miss the mark because they're not walking in the power that God has intended us. So, in the way of application, would you today acknowledge that the Spirit is at work right now, like in this room, but also as you leave every day? Will you acknowledge that he's right there? He's wanting you. He's wanting to help you to overcome some things. He's wanting you to see things differently. He's wanting you to change your mind and view and perspective of how you live your life. Like, he's all the time trying to change us. Some of us need more work than others, but he's there and he's working. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead us to reach our community. This is something I want to pray for here in just a moment. We are placed right here in Skiatook, Oklahoma, to be a light to our community. And I believe that the effects of that light will ultimately go to the ends of the earth, but we are called to this community. And as you are here, now if you live in surrounding areas, you know what I mean. Wherever you're at, that's where you're at. You're to be the light. But I am praying specifically that the Lord leads us to see at least 50 people come to know the Lord and follow him in baptism this year. That's what I'm just praying for. I know that to do that would be a work of the Holy Spirit, and I've just been praying for that. Maybe you would join me in that. But would you trust and see that he is at work and obey him to reach out? Will you be obedient to what the Holy Spirit would lead you to do right now? Maybe for you, it's to trust him and surrender to him. Follow him in baptism. Maybe for some of you, you've heard of some opportunities to go and to make him known. Maybe it'd be to follow him in that. Maybe to apologize to someone. Lay down your pride. It may be to forgive somebody. It may be to have a complete change and surrender that you would trust him. But would you obey him right now? Whatever that is, it's always going to be hard. Every call of God that requires faith is going to be hard because it's out of your control. But that's where we experience his hand, trusting. Let's bow before the Lord. Father, we bow before you. We are thankful that you have sent us the Spirit, your Spirit, the Holy Spirit, Spirit of God. We pray right now that your Spirit, that we would be willing participants in what your Spirit promises to do, and that's to show us truth, change our lives, empower us to overcome and endure, bring comfort and peace. Family just lost their mom, spouse, friend, aunt this week. Oh, Lord, I pray you be peace and comfort for them. Help us as a church to love them and love them well. Lord, you've called us and promised us that we are part of a victorious team. And you've given us a mission. And I pray, Father, that we would be willing to sacrifice for that mission, that we'd be willing to go on that mission. We'd be willing to learn and train. And so, Lord, we pray that you would help us to reach our community and ultimately that the effects of that would reach the ends of the earth. So, God, we pray that you would lead us. And even, I pray that even across this room that some would surrender or just obey you, to follow you, to identify with you in baptism. Lord, you have promised that you would empower us to be overcomers, overcome sin, overcome desires. Lord, we pray that we would trust you for that, and that you'd give us strength. And so, Lord, I pray that we would obey you, regardless of how hard it is, how scared we are. We would trust you and follow you. Lead us to be a people surrendered to you. We need you. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray.